Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. Delighted you decided to join us today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. I hope you enjoy this morning's sermon. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. I told you that all this year, I want to take you on a journey to discover more about who Jesus is. You know, it's one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to know Jesus. Amen. I'm going to try that again, just to make sure you're all listening this morning. I said it's one thing to know a lot about Jesus. It's another thing to know Him personally. Amen. I told you last week, you know, you can introduce a person that you don't know in vague terms. But if it's a person you know, when you introduce them, you can introduce them in a way that's personal. You can introduce them in a way that will draw people to want to know who you're introducing better. I said, it's one thing to say, this is Jesus. It's another thing to say, let me introduce you to the one who saved my soul, who healed my body, who provided for me, who set my feet upon a rock when I was failing, and lifts me up when I'm down. Amen. When you have Jesus and you know Jesus in a way that's real and true, it makes a difference in other people's lives when you see them and they see you and they see Jesus in you. I want to be one of those people that when I cry out to God, I know He hears me, and other people know that He hears me too. That I can be a person that someone can come up to at the diner and say, Pastor, I need prayer, and I know God hears you. Why? Because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can turn around and tell them, you know what? He'll hear you too if you cry out to Him. One of the wonderful things about Jesus is I don't have the only key to talk to Jesus. All you have to do if you want to talk to Him is cry out to Him and He'll hear you too. Isn't that great? You don't have to go before, like in the old days when in the Jewish temple, the people had to go before the priest and the priest went to the high priest and the high priest went to the Ark of the Covenant and lay down the sacrifices and all that's over with because when Jesus died on the cross, He ripped the veil in two as a symbol of saying, when you want God, all you got to do is talk to Him. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen. And I am too, and I'm thankful God hears me. And I want people to see Jesus in me and know that if they have a need, I know the man that has the answer and I can introduce Him to them. Because that's what they need. That's what we need. This morning, I want to go a little deeper this morning and talk to you on the subject of no John, no Jesus. No John, no Jesus. Because there came a time in the history of mankind where God was beginning to wrap up the end of what we would call the Old Testamental period. And there was a time when the prophets were all talking about the restoration of Israel. Because what had happened was, after the days of Solomon and the days of David and Solomon, there became a time of the splitting of the kingdom of Israel into the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And during this time, there were several raiders, there were several nations that overtook them. And the prophets were saying, listen, if God's people would just get back to God, He'll restore Israel and bring back the righteousness that's His back to the kingdom of Israel. This is what the prophets were foretelling. They were saying, listen, there is coming a day when all of our nation will be once again back in right relationship with God. There's coming a day when we're going to see God restore Israel back to its glory, and God will be with us, and we will be His people, and He will be our God. They were longing for this day, but right before the end of what we would consider the Old Testament canon or the Old Testament part of your Bible, the prophet Malachi gives a scripture that was very important. He says this in Malachi 4, I'll just read it to you in 4, verse 5. He says, look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. And we know by reading the story of Jesus that before Jesus was ever born, an angel came to another couple. Right? And he came to this older couple and said, listen, the time is now. I am so glad when God says the time is now. There's so many promises and so many things that God has promised me. I can't wait. I always enjoy the time when God says, well, this is it. You wanted it. You got it. It's like, finally. He says, listen. He said, the time has come. You're going to have a son. And his name is going to be John. And John is going to do something miraculous. What's he going to do? He's going to be a preacher. Well, you know, that's not miraculous. That's kind of hard work. What's he to do? He is going to be the one that's going to prepare the hearts of the people for the Messiah. Wow. What an incredible blessing. Here is John, and he's got his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they have been honored with the option of being the ones who bring about the return of the Messiah. Their son is going to be the one who's going to prepare the way of the Lord. How awesome is that? But how many of you know it just doesn't come that easy? Right? There were rules and restrictions. He was going to have a Nazirite vow. We believe by historical records that John would not so long after he was born would lose his parents and he would go out to live in the desert. By the time John actually comes on the scene, we're actually seeing him living in the desert, wearing camel skin, which had to be itchy, a belt around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey. I told you a couple weeks ago, that's why God never called me to be a missionary. I can't eat bugs. Not every missionary eats bugs. But I had a friend of mine whose parents were missionaries to Africa, and he would love to go camping. When he come back to the States, he would love to go camping and show off how many bugs he learned to eat. But I'm not about that. You can't even get me to eat chocolate-covered grasshoppers. Because I know it may be yummy on the outside, but when you crunch into it, it's still a grasshopper. And here's John. And John is out, and finally he's out, and finally he begins his ministry, and he starts preaching, telling people exactly what's going on and what things are doing. And as John gets to be preaching, then things happen, and then Jesus comes. And one of the greatest testaments, besides Peter's declaration of Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God, is the one where John is sitting there, and Jesus comes up, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Then John tells all the disciples, "Now follow Jesus." They do that, and some things transpire. The king locks John up in jail, and eventually John dies. Now listen, John had to be obedient all of his life to make the thing that Jesus was going to do work. Now you hear me real close this morning, because you and I are an integral part of what God is doing right now in the United States of America. You and I, right now. I mean, I don't know if you've looked at the back wall lately, but the missionary pictures are lopsided because we've added a new missionary. We did so last year, and we finally got his picture in this week, and their pictures are up on the wall. You and I right now are an integral part of what God is doing right now in the United States and throughout the world to preach the gospel to everyone. And what John did, John's whole life was so important. He had to keep his covenant with God. He had to do what God called him to do in order so that he could prepare the way of the Lord. Now listen, at any one time in his life, John could have said, "You know what? I don't like long hair. Come on, I'm being honest here. I mean, we're talking about a boy who was raised from birth up to be the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but my kids are hard enough to handle now. I don't know what they're going to be like when they're teenagers." John the Teenage Baptist, how do you like that? But something had to click inside of his mind that realized that what he was doing for the kingdom of God was more important than what he wanted for himself. Hello? What God was calling him to do was greater than anything he could want to do for himself. Because without John, then you can't have Jesus. Because the Bible, prophecy is prophecy. How many of you understand prophecy is prophecy? Yeah? And it can't be a prophecy if it's not right. And the prophecy said there's coming an Elijah before there's a Messiah. Hello? There had to be Elijah before there was the Messiah. John had to say to himself, "I'm going to do what I was born to do." so that God can do what he's been wanting to do for years, which is bring about the kingdom of God. Because if I do what I'm supposed to do, then God will be able to do what he wants to do. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know what would have happened if John had said one day, you know what? According to my vow, I'm not supposed to drink, but you know what? I'm thirsty. Chug me up one. Because he wasn't allowed to taste wine. What if he got selfish and said, you know what? I want to do what I want to do. Forget the kingdom of God. What about my kingdom? What do I want to do? But he didn't. He didn't. Because he knew that if he would be obedient to God, something greater than he could ever thought possible would happen. Now listen, I believe there are three times that were very important when John's obedience made a difference. The first time is this. I believe it was important for John the Baptist to be obedient when he was on top of the world. You know, there was a time in his life when he was preaching at the Jordan River and baptizing people, and the whole city, and the Bible says, and all kinds of people from Judea and all around the area were coming to hear him preach. I mean, this guy was the number one show in town. If you were going to Jerusalem, you had to stop by the Jordan to see John. After all, everybody who was anybody was going there to watch, and some of them were actually going to be baptized. See, John preached. It was a very simple message. He said, repent and live right. Isn't that simple? Repent and live right. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. And people were coming out to hear him. Now, I think they came out to watch the Jerry Springer show. Because how many of you know John wasn't the nicest preacher in the world? Hello? He wasn't. Because he would be preaching repentance. And all of a sudden, he would see a Pharisee. Right? And the Bible says he would look over there and said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, you brood of vipers? Now look, I'll tell you this. You don't hear that coming out of evangelist's mouth much. I guarantee you won't hear the big name TV people on TV on the Christian channels. They won't say that to the people in their congregation. Right? Because if they did, everybody would leave. These people kept coming. And they came to him, and they listened to him, and there came a point where they finally said, John, are you the one we're looking for? Now, it would have been very easy. You listen to this preacher. It would have been very easy for that man who was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, who everybody was looking to. He had everybody's attention. He had everybody's respect. He could have very easily said, yep, I'm it. Crown me. The robe's itchy. I'm ready for my royal robes. And half the people there probably would have believed him. Come on, I'm telling you the truth this morning. But in the top part of it all, when he is standing there and the question comes to him that makes the biggest difference, he is honest and says, no, I'm not him. In fact, you know what he tells him? He says, in fact, I'm not even worthy to touch his shoelaces. See, I only baptize with water, but he who comes after me will baptize. I wish you were getting this morning as much as I'm getting it standing. Maybe y'all need to come up here and stand, and I'll get up here and preach. Feel what's going on right here. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm not even worthy to be a servant, worthy to touch his shoelaces. You think I'm it? Oh, no, no, no. There's greater than me. Oh, there's somebody so much greater than me. I'm only the tip of the iceberg. I'm only I'm only the scrape of the paint. I'm not it. He is the whole package. And in the height of his ministry, in the height of his popularity, instead of taking the credit, he gives the credit to God. You know, the problem is so many times in our lives, we are faced with the same circumstance. God has blessed us. God has done great to us. Things are going good in our lives. And someone says, man, you have sure done a great job pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. And most of us will say, yep, I did. I did a good job. Look at me. Look how much I'm making now. Look how good I'm doing. Just got signed off on new house, new car. Look how great I'm doing. I really did a good thing for myself. When we know that we know that we know, if it weren't for Jesus, where would we be? And the height of his popularity, the height of his score, he sits there and he says, you know what? Even if I feel like I'm on top, he's still greater. You know, we need to get to a point in our lives when God does bless us and God does do wonderful things in our lives. We give all glory to Jesus. We give all glory to God, for he is the one who does it for us. He said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. If you don't obey me, I'll curse you. But if you obey me, blessing and blessing and blessing. The nations of the world will call you blessed. Why? Because he's awesome. And when we're on our top and we put him higher, he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And that's what we want. There was also another time in John's life he had to be obedient, and that was on the decline. See, after John baptized Jesus, he told his disciples, go follow Jesus, and not everybody did. Somebody had to keep finding all the bees. Just kidding. Somebody had to keep bringing the locusts and wild honey. Right? Somebody had to keep ushering people to the water, because after Jesus left, everybody went with him. And it came a time when the disciples said, you know what? John, buddy, pal, the rent's due. Hello? Somebody's got to pay the camel bill. Not the cable bill, the camel. Somebody has got to usher some people in. We've got to have a revival. We've got to change our church logo. Nobody's coming anymore. We've got to add the fancy stuff. We've got to change the color of the carpet. We've got to change the light bulbs. We've got to change this. We've got to change that. Something's not working. Nobody's coming back to the river. John could have said, well, let's have an evangelist come in and he'll spark everybody's attention and we'll just have a whoop-de-doo outside and we'll put all the speakers facing the crowds instead of facing the inside, and we'll bring in some live bands and we'll generate excitement at the river. No. John said, you know, I was born with a purpose. I prepared the way of the Lord. Well, guess what? He's here. And he said some of the most miraculous words that few Christians are ever able to say in their life. When John said, now he must increase and I must decrease. Whew. I've came and I've done my part. And now it's all him. And the longer I'm in the way, the longer you're following me, you're following the wrong guy. I told you months ago, go follow Jesus and you're still around. Go follow him. See, because it never was about John. It never was about his ministry. It was about Jesus. Oh, I wish you all could have been here for Bible study Wednesday night. But listen, it was all about Jesus. He, when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, you're the fulfillment of all prophecy. You're the fulfillment of all blessing. You're the fulfillment of everything God wanted to do with this earth. It all wrapped up into Jesus. And John gets this. It's right in his mind. He understands. This is what I was created for. Don't look at me. See Jesus. They're like, but John, you know, you're not going to be able to perform, you know, to pay the payments on the Lexus if you don't get something going. It's not about me, John says, it's about him. John, we're not going to pay the rent on our new house and business ministry headquarters. John says, it's not about me, it's about him. But John, we had plans for the Jordan River Water theme park. What are we going to do now? And he says, it's not about me, it's about him. And John showed us that even in the times of your life when God is not using you the way he used to, doesn't mean that God's through with you. Hello? Because God has still always called us to be obedient, no matter what. There's going to come a time in my life where I will no longer be effective as a pastor. And it will be my obligation as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to step down and let someone else who is more effective come in and keep the fire going. Keep the move of the Spirit. Keep God's people fed and keep God's people prayed for and keep going where I won't be able to go anymore. Now, I hope that's another 40 years from now, but there will come a time when I will have to say, He must increase. Jesus must always be on top, even if I'm not. And there must come a time when I say, I must be obedient to Him no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. No matter if I have to sell everything to pay the bills. No matter if I have to do the things, the sacrifices that God calls me to. It's worth it because obedience is always better than anything else you could sacrifice. And John says, what would be the point if I lived my life to declare His word and then blocked Him from being seen by others? What would be the point for you and I to be called to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to people only to have people see us instead of see Him? That is not what God put us here to do. He must increase and I must decrease. Finally, there came a time in John's life where John was going to die. He was in prison. He was going to be executed. He probably could already hear the party started. And he sent his disciples, who still couldn't get the picture, to go follow Jesus. He sent them to go ask Jesus, was He the one or should we be looking for another? I don't think John had this conflict that most people give it. I think John was wanting confirmation to remind himself that I was born for a purpose. And that purpose is, listen to me, for my entire life to give God glory. Jim Elliot put it this way, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. It's one of God's wonderful missionaries who died doing exactly what God called him to do. John, when he did everything God had called him to do, he still was obedient to God even unto death. And when he is locked up in jail and Jesus sends all the people away, he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. Why? Why is not anyone born greater than John the Baptist? Because John lived his entire life for one purpose and one purpose only. So that people could see him and see Jesus. Even unto death, his death glorified God because he gave everything. He gave everything. He gave up the luxury of life. See, John wasn't born into poverty like some people think. John's father was one of the priests. He was born into a priesthood family. The law says that the nations of Israel would take care of the priests. The tithe that the church paid at that time went to take care of the priests who worshipped at the temple, who gave the sacrifices at the temple. John was a part of that family. He was not hurting for anything. But he gave up everything. To what? To be obedient. Because he knew if he would be obedient, then Jesus, the Messiah, could come. If he would be obedient to doing what God called him to do, then Jesus would come and do everything he promised he would. You know, say, Pastor, why is that important for me and you today? I'll tell you as I close. I'll just quote it. 2 Peter says this. God made a promise. That promise, Jesus made a promise. He said, if I go away, I'll come back. The Bible said that God's not slack concerning his promises as some people consider slackness. You know what that means? That means sometimes people promise things and timing is everything. And we say, oh, they're being slack. They're not fulfilling what they said they would do. They're not doing the way we want them to do it. And Peter says, God's not slack concerning his promises. When he said he would come back, listen to me, church, he is coming back. I promise you that. Now listen to me. Why is he not come back yet? It's very simple. Because his will, we've talked about this over and over again to the youth, his will is this, that none perish, but all should come back to repentance. The Bible says you want to hasten the day of the Lord. You want Jesus to come back. You want Jesus to come back to this earth and to rule and reign. Then you need to be obedient and do our part. Because we are the ones who have a mission to do. We are born with a purpose to share the love of God with the world. And God's waiting for us. God's waiting for you and for me to do our part, to be obedient to him and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with the world. Why? Because when the world hears the gospel, then the end will come. You want to know the truth? We are the Elijahs that are supposed to come before Jesus comes back. But are we going to be like John and be obedient, or are we going to be self-centered and selfish? Are we going to want our kingdom more than his? Are we going to be obedient in the peak? Are we going to be obedient in the downcline? Is there anyone who still wants to be obedient to God, even to death? Well, Pastor, I love God, but I don't want to die. I don't either. It's not my intention to run in some, I don't know, gang-infested community and walk in when everybody's holding guns at me and go, get saved or I'm going to hurt you. Guess what? They're going to hurt me first. It's not my intention to die. Dying can be painful, and I don't like pain. Dying can be scary, and I don't like to be scared. But I know to be obedient is greater than anything else I can do for him. Because I want to see Jesus come back. I want to see him do things he promised he would do. Now the question is, can you and I still be obedient today? Can we take an example from John and learn to be obedient? Learn to do what he's called us to do. Learn to not put our kingdom first, but to put his kingdom first. Learn that when the world starts looking in other directions, point them to Jesus. You know what? God may call somebody in this room to go overseas or go into some city or go into some county and die for the cause of Christ. I want you to know, I'd rather be obedient than to live a coward. I'd rather be obedient to his word, be obedient to what he called me to do, than to miss out and gain the whole world and lose my soul. Jesus called John one of the greatest people ever born, the greatest person ever born. Why? Because there was a man who was sold out to being obedient to a cause greater than himself. And the question is, are you ready to be obedient this morning? Would you bow your heads with me? I am so glad you decided to join us today, but I'd really rather see you in person. Service times are at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. on Sunday nights, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We're located at 582 Rockingham Road. It's on Highway 5 across from Everyday Inn in Bellows Falls. You can also visit our website at www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.